Well, today we continue our look at 2 Corinthians as we continue looking at this sermon series of perseverance, for God reigns. Stay smelly, stay shiny, and speak faithfully. As we come today to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, at verse 1 and verse 16, we find the same phrase repeated. It frames our passage of Scripture. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And again at verse 16, we do not lose heart. You hear that sense, that theme of perseverance is going to come out here in chapter 4. We do not lose heart, no, we persevere. And one of the reasons I chose this topic of perseverance is because this pandemic really has impacted Christians in some very important ways. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I can show you the slide. This was some research done by the Barna Group towards the end of April, early May, and already by that point in time, 32% of people had stopped watching online church. 32%. That's a fairly sizable number. I was chatting with one of my acquaintances recently, and there's a fellow named Tom Rainer who also looks at the life of the church and does social research. Rainer predicts that even when the pandemic is over, 20% of people will not come back to church. I hope he's wrong. I really hope he's wrong. But he is a person who does a lot of work in terms of church life. And here's a quote, a challenging quote. People don't leave Christianity because they stop believing in the teachings of Jesus. People leave Christianity because they believe in the teachings of Jesus so much they can't stomach being part of an institution that claims to be about that and clearly is not. Now, I don't know what you think about that. For me, that's kind of a grit my teeth quote. But whatever we think of those words, God forbid that we would ever be the people that make this come true in somebody's life. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Speak faithfully. Even when you're in those kind of situations when it seems like maybe a little compromise might make your life easier. Might even make the gospel more attractive if I just kind of shade it a bit. In antiquity, wine merchants would oftentimes take this as a way to make their business a little more affluent. It's the easy way out. You just put a little wine in the water. You just distort it a little bit. And that's the word picture that we have behind our verse today. It's deceptive, but it kind of makes life easier for the wine merchant. Paul will have no part in deception. Paul will have no part in distorting the word of God. And it appears he's probably pointing at those opposing teachers that he's already addressed earlier in 2 Corinthians, those people who he's convinced just have a veil on and they don't read Scripture right. Distortion. Currently, one of the distortions of the gospel in the world is the health and wealth gospel. You may have heard of this. The gist of it is that, okay, if you're a Christian, God will always do the miracle and heal you. And plus, you'll be rich. Health and wealth gospel. I always laugh a little bit because one of the proponents of health and wealth gospel is this fellow from Atlanta whose name is Creflo Dollar. Yeah, somebody got the joke. Creflo Dollar with the health and wealth gospel. During this pandemic, there's been a TV evangelist who comes on with a spot from time to time, and he says, just become a Christian and you'll have peace. I want to affirm the fact that when you have peace with God, it is much easier to have peace with people and peace in your life, the peace that passes understanding. But I'm afraid it's a watered-down gospel if at some point in time we don't go ahead and tell people, guess what? You'll have peace, but you still may have some suffering and some trials and some days that you just wish you didn't have to go through. And even in churches of Christ, I think sometimes we would overemphasize the need to be baptized, be baptized, be baptized, without remembering to say, but you need to repent. And you're making a commitment, which is lifelong obedience. That was watered down wine. That was watered down words when we failed to tell people the whole truth. And I'm convinced that in this time period, you know, there are tough questions that are being asked by people around us, questions about gender, questions about sexuality. I mean, just all kinds of things that are just a challenge in our society right now. Questions about race, questions about police. I'm convinced that unbelievers are just going to be put off by half-thought-through, distorted, watered-down answers. I don't think it works. It's tempting. But I think instead, if we stop and think and search the scriptures and ask God that and give a reasoned, true response, not everybody who hears it may accept what we say, but our integrity will be intact. And that will speak loudly. So speak faithfully. Continuing, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, remember that from last week? And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I showed you that quote just a moment ago that said that people can't, they just can't stomach church when that church claims to be about Jesus and clearly isn't, that just drives people away. Well, that shouldn't be surprising. Folks see through double life. Folks see through double talk. Lives that don't correlate with our speech just destroy our credibility. I mean, kids, I expect you to do this, but I don't have to. In the words of verses 3 and 4, that is one of the ways that the God of this age, think Satan, think the deceiver, the God, small g, of this age, blinds people. It's one of the ways that he blinds people. They can't see the light. They can't see Jesus as he truly is. They can't see him as the image of God. And so they carry all these false conceptions about this God who is just a big, bad meanie who's got nothing more up his sleeve than he just wants to send people to hell. Or that he's just this harsh, or on the other side, God would never be upset with this. He's a loving God. Okay, both sides are the extreme. But really what it is people seeing God through a veil of their own making sometimes. And so what do? Speak faithfully in prayer. Prayer is a word powerful enough to remove the veil and strip it away from people's eyes. Prayer is the way to overcome the God of this age who is blinding people. You know, I'm convinced that there are ways in which culture blinds people around us, and sometimes it also distorts our vision. For example, it seems to me that we're living in a time period where many people feel they deserve everything they desire. And they want it now. No such thing as delayed gratification. And see, that everything now mindset can even lead us Christians to say, perseverance, well, it's taken too long. It's not turning out the way I want, and I wanted it yesterday. We got to be praying for one another that our Christian brothers and sisters are sustained in perseverance and not blinded by those cultural ideas that are so powerful. Speak faithfully in prayer. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We speak faithfully in prayer, but if we're people of faith, we note that it also impacts how we speak of our priorities and live out those priorities. Faithful speech proclaims Jesus as Lord and ourselves as servants. Jesus our Lord, Jesus as Lord and ourselves as servants. There, say it again, servants. There it is. And we aren't servants for the people around us so that they'll just be impressed with us and glorify us and, if need be, obey us in our nice little cult. No! I mean, the reality is, what are you all doing up San Yam Canyon? You are washing the feet of people in need in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God be praised. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Good work. Now, if you aren't a Christian, I want to talk with you just for a second. If you aren't a Christian, I want you to stop and think about, why is that friend of yours trying to help you come to God? What does she get out of it? Some glory? No, not really. Is there like a bounty? Hey, bring a friend to church and we'll give you $5. No. No. What that servant of the Lord is doing is serving you in the way that he, she best knows how. They're trying to give you the ultimate gift of Jesus as your Lord because they have discovered that's great, good, abundant life. That's what's going on. I hope you can hear them through that. Well, verse 6 picks up a picture from the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. At creation, God made light shine out of darkness. And now that light shines onto us so that we can stay shiny and shine it to other people. So when the Bible talks about servants for Jesus' sake, how about we stay shiny servants? Shiny servants. We speak faithfully to everyone with these proper priorities. Jesus is Lord, we're servants. And now, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. If you continue to look through 2 Corinthians, you'll find at chapter 6 and later at chapter 11 that Paul unfolds the incredible amount of adversity that he had to endure because he was a Christian man. Flogging, stoning, shipwreck, endangered, sleepless, hungry, and besides everything else, I face daily my concern for all the churches, he says. And if you've ever been a church leader, you know that one. So here's the focus. Like Paul, persevere and speak faithfully when you are hard-pressed. That's a time to speak faithfully. See, the light of God within us is a treasure. U.S., where we put our treasure? Fort Knox. Where does God put the treasure? Jars of clay? Earthen vessels? Bodies made out of dirt? This happens to be some containers for Dead Sea Scrolls. But it's an example of an earthen vessel, a jar of clay. And I want to suggest that actually the fact that we have crushable bodies can work for the advantage of God's work. times of adversity. Listen to the language Paul uses. Hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Welcome to the year 2020. Yet times of adversity also allow the light within to shine forth when the body starts to get crushed a bit. They allow God's all-surpassing power to be seen. Times of adversity allow the life of Jesus to be revealed in these bodies and the resurrection power to bloom forth. Welcome to the year 2020. The perfect year for speaking faithfully. I mean, yeah. We're made of dirt. We shouldn't be surprised that some days are hard. Jesus suffered. What a shock if we do too. But I want you to note in this passage of Scripture the descriptions of our resilience. Not crushed. Not in despair. Not abandoned. Not destroyed. The worst will not happen. We will never have to go it alone. We persevere because we have the privilege of carrying the treasure within of light, of power, of the risen Christ. See, I'm convinced the way that we choose to handle the annoyances of the year 2020 can proclaim loudly to the people around us that we are people with a different Lord. The way Jesus died on the cross led the centurion to confess, surely this man was the Son of God. It's Mark 15:39. Crush the earthen vessel, convict the onlooker. Crush the body, convince the centurion. You see it? Maybe you've even had that experience this year. Maybe one of the brothers or sisters here has faced a really difficult situation during this year 2020. But yet you watched him, you watched her as they processed the difficulty, and somehow you walked away and you said, not in despair, not struck down, not destroyed, God didn't abandon. Wow, look at that person. What a message that event proclaims. So let us be the people who speak faithfully as we feel the crush of COVID-19 in 2020. I want to offer some scenarios, but before I do that, okay, we got to have an agreement. In no way am I diminishing the difficulty that some people have faced this year. Okay? What I'm trying to do is suggest that even when the big difficulties come our way, we can still make some choices about our response and our speech. We can still make some choices about our response and our speech. Greg, yeah, I got the virus and I got really sick. But God was with me every step of the way, and even if the worst would have happened, I know I would have gone home to be with the Lord. Speak faithfully. Oh, Greg, when I went home and I saw my house and it was just burned to the ground, my knees just buckled. But then when brothers and sisters, when God's people showed up with supplies and so much support, I knew right then that I could take the next step because God was holding me up. Speak faithfully. Greg, I just never suspected that I'd lose my job. I figured I'd just go the distance and retire from that job. But the garden's growing good. God's supplying lots of food. I'm praying for an interview and things are starting to look good. But big time, Greg, what I do is I just choose to live one day at a time with confidence in the God who promises I'm always going to have food and clothes. Speak faithfully. You know, most of us haven't experienced those frustrations in the extreme. It's been more like, there's no toilet paper? Still don't get that one. Yeah, or at Winco, and this guy has like 5,000 bottles of water. I don't know. Anyway, you know, it's been those kinds of things, or Clorox wipes, or the kids can't go to school, or, you know, you go to the doctor and you got all these procedures and you can't even sit together at church, and la, 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 la. Maybe speaking faithfully at a time like this is as simple as obeying Philippians when it says, don't complain. Or, even better, maybe it sounds like this. You know, I'll be honest, I haven't liked some of the things that have gone down this year. I just really haven't. But with God, all things are possible, so I just keep walking and I quit worrying. Speak faithfully. 2020, man, this year looks horrible to lots of people, but for us jars of clay, this is the opportunity of a lifetime to go ahead and take some of the crush and let it just erupt in faithful speech and demonstration of the risen Lord. I dare you to take that challenge. Verse 13. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I believed, therefore I have spoken. And that sentence is really the foundation to what I'm recommending today. Speak faithfully. Now, Paul grabs hold of a verse from Psalm 116, verse 10. And at first glance, when I look back at Psalm 116, it kind of looks like Paul's tweaking those words in a way that only an apostle can get away with, right? But I look more closely. And the broader context of Psalm 116 really does fit the same context as what we're talking about here in terms of jars of clay, because both the psalm and Paul's writing here, they both come from the spirit of faith. See, the psalmist speaks of a life filled with adversity, danger to the point of death, sorrow. Verse 8. Yet the Lord delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. That really sounds like this message about us as jars of clay. Hard pressed, not crushed. Perplexed, not in despair. Struck down, not destroyed. So Paul and the psalmist really are speaking from a similar place. And it's that belief that allows the psalmist to endure the adversity and speak to God in the midst of it and stay hopeful. And it's belief that allows us to speak to God during adversity and to live hopefully. And catch this one, okay? It is belief that allows us to speak of God faithfully, even when there's no toilet paper at the store. Guess what? Speech rooted in belief opens the door. God starts tapping on people's heart. Grace starts breaking in. This year, public discourse, boy, it has been over the top. Whether it's political speech, protest speech, the problem behind the forest fire speech, it's hot. There's a little pun there, you know. Okay, Mike got it. I mean, the language right now, it's very intense. And it's the depth of our belief that in the midst of all that, it's going to allow us to stay smelly and stay shiny and speak faithfully. And that's really important because there's a lot of people who are freaking out with accusations and ultimatums and so while 2020 is crushing so many people and crushing incredible words out of them, what if we're the people who continue to speak of resurrection? even when it might be more convenient to water down the wine. I keep kicking that thing over. Quite a few years ago, Pam met a woman at church. She was a college student from Korea. And Pam had been praying for somebody to read the Bible to, or read the Bible with, sorry. And so she walked up to Clara and said, "Clara, would you like to read the Bible with me?" And Clara said, "Yes, I would." Hooray. So they read the Bible together for many, many months, and at some point in time in that Bible study, it seemed like it would be helpful if I came in. So I did. And then I realized, boy, the clock's ticking. Pretty soon Clara's going to return to South Korea. And I thought to myself, we got to at least give her some kind of fundamental base of oops, I went too far. It's supposed to be a black slide there. Well, there it is. Rewind. Clara's going to be moving away. We need to give her some sort of kind of basis of Christian doctrine. And so I'm not that much of a creedal guy, but I recognize the Apostles' Creed does a really good job of synthesizing some basic Christian doctrine. So I thought, okay, if we talk through these 8-10 points, that'll be helpful. And then we came to this very biblical concept. It says, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Right? I mean, anybody want to vote that, yeah, I believe in this? And so I start talking to Clara and I say, well, basically what this is about is that there's going to be a point in time in the future when Jesus returns. And when he does, then the people who are alive and are Christians will kind of fly up to meet him in the air. And those who have already passed away, the dead bodies will come up out of the ground and they'll meet Jesus. And I watched Clara's face. It was like, Greg and Pam, you're pretty nice people, and you've done a lot of good things for me, but seriously? This sounds like a cheapo horror movie that's not even... I mean, this just sounds... And I caught that expression, and I realized, I've heard that so many times that for me it's second nature, but it's the first time you ever heard that people are going to meet Jesus in the air, they're going to be resurrected to life and go on to judgment. It's sort of like, seriously? And I'm at that moment where I'm wondering, is this going to be the point where Clara says, this is ridiculous. Thank you, but you see, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Even if the truth doesn't make sense to somebody else, it's still truth. Thanks be to God, Clara came to faith, confessed Jesus as her Lord, was baptized into Christ, lives in South Korea now, and still a believer. All praise and glory goes to God. If you believe, you speak. You see, it's deep convictions, it's deep belief about God and His words that will keep you speaking faithfully and will keep you persevering. It's got to go deep. And right at the center of our belief is this conviction that we'll celebrate in a few minutes, that Jesus' body doesn't lay in a Jerusalem tomb, but He rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Now, verse 16. There it is. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. These jars of clay. We are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Yeah, those jars of clay, they wear out over time. But the light, the power, the resurrected Christ, the Holy Spirit within continues to renew us every day. And even in the year 2020, that says we can persevere. And even if we live in this digital weird world for a lot more months, it means we can persevere. Sense of smell. You are the aroma of Christ. So stay smelly. Stay smelly, and you can know that other people's are taking in the fragrance and saying, just being around you lets me know that God must be real. And talking about the sense of sight, you display the glory of God. Stay shiny. And other people will know you've been transformed because you hang around with God. And speak faithfully, because yours is the voice that can help people understand that smelly and shiny life you're living. And if you do that, there comes a point where they say, I finally understand what you've been talking about. You got a treasure. I wish I had a treasure. I wish I had the convictions and the confidence that you carry with you. I really have a vested interest in these things that I've been preaching these 3 weeks. You see, I entrust my children and my grandchildren to God, and I entrust them to the Kaiser Church of Christ congregation. I know you have been influencing them. I know in the years to come, Lord willing, you will influence them. So, please, persevere. Please, stay smelly. Stay shiny. And speak faithfully. Steve, shall we sing?